Welcome back, folks. It's a little side edition of the Fantasy Hustle.
Your host,
John, with my man Brad right here, and our producer, Stretton, behind the ones and twos. We just wanted to dabble in here, do a little bit of talking about the new NFL head coaches, free agency, and kind of where we're going to be looking here coming next year. How you doing today, Brad? See you representing your Dolphins.
Yeah. Not looking too good for the Dolphins so far this offseason, and I think it might be a long year, but 2019 maybe. How about the Bears? You got to be pretty excited about their outlook so far.
Yeah. You know, I just got a text from my brother. It's a reminder about season tickets for this year, so that was a big, put a big smile on my face. Obviously, the past couple of days has also done that with major signings that we've had and showing the initiative to start rebuilding here. Ryan Pace, you know, starting to lose a little bit of faith in him. But, you know, made a little bit of things happen here. Signed Allen Robinson. Big move for us, you know. Stiffening up. I think it all started with that tender with Kyle Fuller. You know, as a guy you really couldn't let go given the market with anyone else going out there, especially with Prince of Makamura, Makamoku. You know, once he hit the market, it was like, well, we're going to be weak on one side, and at that point, where are you going with it? Trey Burton looks like a stud, you know, just hiding in the shadows of Ertz, and just give him a moment to get out there and actually really do some things. It's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, it's similar to Martellus Bennett. You know, he was hiding in the shadows of Jason Witten for years in Dallas, and then finally he got his chance, I believe, with the Giants, and then the Bears brought him in. Burton, the third string, but he did pretty good there, so... We'll see how that works out, but yeah, a lot of action, a lot of teams going up and down, but, you know, a lot to get to.
Well, let's start out with the foundations and the new coaching changes we've had this year. First off, you had a lot of prominent offensive and defensive coordinators getting shook around the league here, which I think is going to definitely change the scope of how a lot of these teams typically played, different styles they had run, you know. First off, you got Arizona. Hiring Steve Wilkes, the former defensive coordinator at Carolina. Was he in there a long time? You know, did he have the right justice? I mean, he's had a couple good players there, but I feel like year in and year out, those guys just kind of come and go, you know, ever since Norman left. And, you know, they'll get a guy. It's good to see they signed Peppers back this year. Yeah. It should be pretty interesting. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see if – the retirement home can do anything. I mean, they got Bradford this year, 1 year, $20 million deal.
That was not a
whole lot, but
I thought Arizona was easily the worst of the available coaching spots because they don't have a quarterback. They didn't have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Their roster is incredibly old.
David Johnson coming back from injury,
which it's not a serious injury or anything that could affect him long term, but. Man, it's going to be a tough spot for him to go win, especially they're not picking that high in the draft where they can get one of these top quarterbacks. So hopefully what you're hoping for, I guess, is Bradford goes out there and makes it look like you're trying to compete when in all reality you want to kind of tank is the new word for all these losing teams in pro sports. And next year you hope to get that franchise quarterback.
And I think between the lines, they definitely threw out some major offers to some of the well-known quarterbacks, and I think they just weren't biting. They didn't want to go there. I mean, yeah, it's Larry Fitzgerald, but how many years he got left in the tank? You mentioned David Johnson. I mean, you know, he's going to have a good bounce back year, but they're starting to cut ties. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu.
Yep.
That's going to be a big addition to someone's backfield there.
Yeah, it's interesting. For the coaching, Arizona, like I said, I don't like it very much. But the Bears, when you look at the Bears, you knew going into that job, you had the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You had good running game. And a defense has gotten much better over the past few years and was a top half defense, at least.
With money to spend, too.
Yeah, so that was a good situation to go into. And so far, so good. They've done all the things. The only bad thing about going to Chicago is you got to deal with Minnesota and Green Bay, who are peaking right now as well, you know.
I think Minnesota is, but I don't think Green Bay is. I
mean, well, as long as number 12's there.
Yeah, but coming off an injury year, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. I mean, he lost his best friend, yeah. I think his quarterback coach left too, which he was kind of pissed about.
Yeah,
so I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to emulate there. And, you know, with Rodgers coming back in a contract year, I think after this year, he may, you know, hold them to the stake and not take them friendly hometown discounts. Maybe burn on that end, but
we'll
it's going to be interesting to see. But let's just say this. I don't see them as much of a threat. Yes, they did have a big signing, you know, defensive lineman, which, you know, Muhammad Wilkerson.
Yeah.
I figured he was going to go there. I knew they were going to get some sort of – I was thinking either him or Sue when it came down to it. But yeah, I think they just want to get their hands on somebody.
They need a lot of help on that D-line. Pass rush. They haven't been generating a whole lot of pass rush. So that's what you get with Wilkerson. You get a good run stuffer who can also put a little pressure up the middle. They need to fix that secondary, though. That defense is going to be terrible unless they can figure that out. Doesn't matter how good Rodgers is this year.
I see a possibility of them dropping some money, trying to pick up Tyrann Mathieu.
I haven't heard anything yet on Mathieu, where he's been looked at or who's interested in him. I'm sure anybody that needs a safety should be looking at him.
Yeah.
You know, the Bears could even be in that camp if you don't believe in Amos.
You know what? That's the thing, too, though. I mean, Amos has been pretty solid. He's young. And on top of that, you got Jackson across from him. And if you're trying to rebuild and get a rejuvenated defense here, bring in Matt Owen, yeah, it's good, but you know he's going to want some money. I mean, he's going to want at least 10.
It'll be a
10 to 13, I'd say.
It'll be a healthy contract.
And, I just really don't think it's going to be worth their interest right now. They could probably spend that elsewhere and make a more competitive plan for the future. But getting out of the Bears, Matt Nagy, Kansas City's offense coordinator. I think he did a stellar job last year just with the Tyreek Hill, bringing in a new rookie running back. A lot of flash. Alex Smith, I mean, he kept Alex Smith and actually got Alex Smith a pretty big payday going to Washington. So, I mean, you got to attribute a little bit of that cash to Nagy for sure. And that's what the Bears fans wanted, was someone who's going to come in and give a creative offense, give that spark that people want. You know what I mean? And I'm interested to see what he's going to transform Tariq Cohen into.
Yeah, well, the big thing for them was bringing Fangio back. I mean, that was huge because that defense, like I said earlier, has been climbing over the years and is respectable now and should be better again this year, especially if they get some good pass rush. Mm-hmm. And so you needed to bring in an offensive mind, someone that could work with Trubisky, get the best out of him, and possibly, you know, turn into... Maybe not Philadelphia offense or Kansas City or some of those high-powered offenses we saw last year. But this year...
Productive is what we're looking for.
A team
for.
That you That's know it. Is not going to run on first and second down and then throw it on third down and three and out.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times did they do that last year? I mean, Jordan Howard's got to be the happiest guy in the world having a coach like this come in because he's not going to see these loaded boxes anymore, for one.
Mm-hmm.
And teams aren't going to just know, okay, first down, they're running.
Yeah.
Okay, second and six, they're running. You know, they're going to have options here. So, and the beauty is, like you said, with Cohen, too, that's a great guy for
creativity,
and Taylor Gabriel, who they brought in, is another guy. So they're bringing in a lot of versatility, a lot of options there, and you still got Howard as that, you know, run it up the middle, just get the tough yards guy, and he can even break off a big one.
And you know what I mean? When you think about it, you have to look at all these factors that help bring star players to your team. Like I said, you know, I'm sure there are good offers from Arizona, but no one just wants to go there.
Yeah.
You know, Allen Robinson was, you know, he thought about Chicago, you know, new coach, young new quarterback, Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, a defense that backs him. You know, you want to go with a team that's pretty wholesome, say the least, and I think that's what they're going to have to rely on. It's just the more they – show that they're rebuilding in the right direction, the more other players are going to want to come.
Yeah,
a lot of younger players, too. You know?
Yeah, and that's what you need. You can't be, you know, dipping your toes into 30-year-olds that are getting to the end of their career, you got to get the guys, you know, in their first contract, getting their first big contract off the rookie deal. And that's what Robinson is. So could be a really good thing.
You know, I'd like to see the Bears, just as a fan, possibly dig into like another DN, like a Sheldon Richardson type, you know, give someone who can kind of get in there, even if he has to drop in a D tackle for a small period. I know he's a little bit smaller, but I think that would be something in my eyes, is someone that they need to this point.
Yeah,
I mean, they got Hicks, they got Goldman. I know they just had their signing of Lynch, right?
You said, yeah, from Aaron Niners. Lynch, the guy we just talked about off air. He was, you know, third or fourth defensive end for the Niners last year. Not great stats or anything, but a body.
It's a roster,
yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I mean, Ureen went to another team. I forgot where he had gone, but you're starting to feel them spots where, hey, we need to get someone good on that second.
Yeah. Second. And you can't just have four defensive linemen. You have to have six, seven, eight. So
I would expect them, if possible, to extend Goldman this year.
Yeah, that
pending on what their spending is going to be. I see with some leftover cap, they're definitely going to extend him. And and obviously try to get that Fuller situation. I mean, those would be their top two priorities.
Fuller is an interesting one because he got the transition tag, not the franchise tag.
So technically he's not on the Bears yet.
Teams can make him an offer, and the Bears have the option to match. But it's unlikely someone's going to go out there and make him an offer. But just in case someone does, that's money the Bears need to have ready to throw to him if they want to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be something they look at. And all the big money free agents are pretty much gone, except for the guys like Sue and Matthew who got released. But all the big time guys that were free agents that weren't cut, they're pretty much gone. So now you're getting to that second, third tier guys that are going to cost a little bit less. And that's where, you know, good teams make their, you know, get their value and make their team so much better.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good on our end, assuming they get something worked out with Fuller or he stays on the squad this year. Having your back four established is nice, and to be able to move forward. You know what I mean? Get someone strong on the opposite side of Leonard Floyd. You know, Danny Trevathan's going to get in there. I like what Nick Kwiatkowski's got going on for him. You know, and I know a lot of people are talking about, they signed Sam Acho, who I liked him coming in here to kind of give people a little bit of breather, but I think that they should let Kwiatkowski see what he can do. You know what I mean? A lot of the DeMarco, from the Jets last year, linebacker, DeMario Davis, went to New Orleans. I mean, that was a guy I was thinking that they could maybe transition in, but I think at this point they want to see what they got, and they may be interested in throwing in somebody there on the middle side of things, because Trevathan's also got some miles on him too. They're eventually going to start thinking down the road, like, hey, just like Urlacher, you saw him slowing down, missing tackles.
Yeah.
It's eventually going to happen.
It does happen, yeah.
Next team that had a pretty big signing, Detroit Lions. They hired former New England defensive coordinator Matt Patricia, which, not trying to be biased, but I just don't know if he'll transition into a good head coach.
Bill Belichick, the guys underneath him that go on to try to have other success usually don't have it. There's many.
Cronell, Wise.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of guys out there that have tried to go on and have had success. And this is a guy that I'm thinking to myself, defensive coordinator for the Patriots. Belichick, I'm sure, has his hand in most of the defense because he's a defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who just got, his team just gave up, 40-some points in the Super Bowl. And just, I just don't see it. So, I mean,
they started out real bad too. They started out terrible. They kind of had a little bit of rebound, and it kind of
they had a bye.
Yeah,
and then they came on, and I think that's when Belichick kind of came in. So I don't know how great Patricia is,
and I'm happy about that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you are.
You know, like I seen him, I'm just like, I just hope the Bears don't sign his ass.
Well, I think you can easily see from the way the offseason's gone so far, there could be a flop here. I think, flop, where Detroit and Chicago are now gonna switch. Chicago's been in last place for 3-4 years in a row now. I think that time's coming now. Detroit is going to take that step back. They don't really have a whole lot on defense. They're not doing anything in free agency right now. Their offense is still meh. I mean, they got some decent receivers, no run game. So you're still relying way too much on Stafford. And I think this could be a year where they get back to that 5 or less wins range. And the Bears should be better than that.
I think they will be for sure. Another big sign in New York Giants, Vikings offense coordinator, Pat Shurmur. I mean, he definitely earned the right, given the talent that he had there, especially with quarterback. I mean, it was a roulette right there.
Case Keenum, who was nothing last year for the Rams, got replaced by a guy that couldn't win a game in golf last year, or 2016. And, I mean, Case Keenum was a viable MVP candidate for a while there. People were talking about it, and it was legit because he took this team that didn't have Bridgewater. Bradford gets hurt. So he's the backup quarterback, goes in there, and they go 13-3, and they don't miss a beat. You know, it looks like you're talking about Matt Ryan or not Tom Brady, but, mm-hmm. you know, that second tier of quarterbacks, and looked like Case Keenum belonged in there.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good move. I know Shurmur struggled in Cleveland his first time, but, I mean, what coach hasn't struggled in Cleveland the past decade or two?
Right. As far as the Giants, I really don't see anything big happening there, though. They just... It's like they're laying down. They're trying to get the next Eli and line themselves up for that, which, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they did maybe bring someone up or trade up just to get someone to back him up here.
Well, they have the second kind of pick in the draft.
The Favre Rodgers factor.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know.
I can see them.
I mean, the problem is Barkley looks like the most for sure thing in this draft. So, and they've needed a running back for years now since when Ahmad Bradshaw was there, maybe even further back than that. But so I think that could be the option. But if they don't want to go that route, it's got to be quarterback. You got to get someone there. Eli Manning is 36, 37 years old, and he's slowing down.
I think
down.
At this point you have to take Barkley. There's not a lot of running backs out there like him, and there's not a lot that his backups. Last year was the year to get a good running back. I mean, you've seen the plethora of guys that were out there. But this year, he's the guy. And based on what he's shown, his 40 times, his combine, everything totaled, he's been that guy. We've been talking about him for, you know, not just his senior year, his junior year, he was a stud, too.
Well,
the big thing I'm getting at is Browns need to take him number one because he won't be there when it comes back to him number five. And there's other teams in that mix who have signed someone long, you know, a decent player, let's say the least, you know what I mean? I mean, with Tyrod Taylor, where is that now with Cleveland? I don't think it's an issue where you have to. It's like an immediate Mitch Trubisky-type situation for the Bears. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the beauty of the Browns having those two picks, is that second pick they can use on the quarterback, and they're still going to be
One of them will be there,
Especially if you just target one of your guys and say, this is the guy we want. If he's not there at four, then maybe you can look to trade out or something like that. But with Barkley, the way I look at it, the last 2 years, you look at the top running back, the can't-miss running back, Zeke Elliott and Leonard Fournette. Those guys were top five picks. They took bad teams, took them to the playoffs. Cowboys were the best team in the NFC. Hell, the Jaguars were pretty damn close to going to the Super Bowl. So it just goes to show you what a good running game. I know the NFL has changed so much where it's everything's all about the passing game and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you can still win football games with that ground and pound type offense. So I think whoever gets Barkley has to be thinking that. If it's Cleveland, Giants, Colts, so one of those first three teams definitely going to take him because they all have the need.
Speaking of Colts, I skipped over them, which, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on them because they suck one, you know. But
McDaniels didn't want to talk about him either.
Yeah. But I'll just quick update, you know, Frank Reich, Eagles offensive coordinator, Reich, whatever his name
bit
is.
Bit of a reach.
Yeah, that's what I was going with that one. But, yeah, we'll just leave that one alone. Raiders somehow pulled John Gruden out of retirement there.
How is he good? Is he really that great of a coach? I mean, nobody knows, right?
I don't know, but I guess, you know, it's like someone doing all that studying for all them years. They got to be able to have something.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be interesting because I think that roster's getting weaker. They released Michael Crabtree.
Picked up Jordy.
Brought in Jordy Nelson, Doug Martin for some reason. I don't know what's going to happen with Lynch. So it's
They said they plan on keeping him, so.
Yeah, well, does he want to continue to play, too, is the other thing. But it's all about Carr developing, becoming better. And then he's got to get a rapport with Cooper, get it going again like they had a few years back.
I think Lynch has got to want to play because he's can't come back to his hometown. And, you know, you don't want to go out looking like a bum. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to have at least one good... He's probably going to want to break at least 1,000 yards in his hometown. You know, that'd be a good, like, all right.
We'll send off.
I've had it all. Here we go. But, you know, nowadays you don't focus on one workhorse as a quarter or a running back. So you could see them being, you know, two-headed monster there. Plus, they got a plethora of guys under them who had to step up last year to make things happen. So I wouldn't even really consider Lynch like that. But, you know, in the long run, the man just wants to play in his hometown. And, and he's blunt. He'll tell you when he don't want to.
Yeah, so. Lynch, you know, Lynch isn't going to be a guy that's going to get probably close to 20 carries a game. But that's because you bring in Doug Martin, and now you have the two guys. Both of them have the ability to do something special at times. Doug Martin had, when he came out, I think it was against the Patriots, the first game he played this year, he was okay, and then he just fell off the rails. So he can still be a good running back, and that's what they're going to need. And that defense, too, in Oakland isn't great,
just needs some steroids, man. That's it.
So I think I don't see Oakland, of the six teams that all got new coaches, I think really the only team that's got the upward trend right now is Chicago. I think, you know, Colts, unless Luck comes back and is...
Even at that, you know, there's a lot of skepticism.
There's still a lot of if there, but if he does come back and plays well, they could be good. Although the division's getting harder and harder every year now. The Giants are bottoming out. The Cardinals, we talked about bottoming out. And I think the Raiders are kind of going the wrong way. I think that season they had a couple years ago was kind of a fluke. And I don't think they're that level good, but I could be wrong on that. But
I think they need a defensive fix is what they need. The defense just gets too tired, and their offenses, they're trying to. Derek Carr, I mean, he had two really good wide receivers there. He got hurt. I know that set him back a little bit, but you got to give them credit. They were heading in a better direction than they've been for the past decade. So it's tough. You know what I mean? I can understand. I think the Gruden signing, I mean, a lot of times it's a coach that comes in and just brings that morale to the whole team and kind of boosts everyone and makes them play a hell of a lot better. But interesting to see here. Like I said, I got faith in Carr. I think he's going to be a decent quarterback here in the future, and we'll see what else they have up their sleeve here. Last team, Vrabel, you know, Titans defense he was Texans defensive coordinator, you know, longtime Patriot, Super Bowl champion, and finally stepping up to the role here. Do I think this is his, you know, stint that he's going to last at? Probably not, but I think it's going to be that learning experience. I see him being a good coach further down the road, just not now. You know what I mean? Especially not with that squad.
Well, I remember when he was on Hard Knocks, when the Texans were on Hard Knocks. I really, like, seemed to, like, I liked what he was saying. I thought he seemed to really be able to lead men, I guess you could say. And I think that's exactly what a team like that needs, because they're on the cusp of being a contender, Super Bowl contender, and it just wasn't working with the guy they had there, Mike Mularkey.
Mularkey?
So they needed a change, fresh blood, get a new perspective in there, and this guy is going to bring fire, that's for sure. He's going to bring that desire and passion, and the defense should take a big bump up. And if Mariota can continue to ascend, that's a dangerous team, because they have a lot of good pieces.
Well, they got a lot of good pieces, but they're getting older quick. And that's the thing you don't realize about the NFL, you know, a couple losing seasons, and all of a sudden a lot of your guys who were kind of your young veterans are now dragging ass. Yeah. I mean, Delanie Walker was a stud for so many years, and now he's easily dropped down the charts. I mean, Rishard Matthews, I think, is a solid player for them on that side of the ball, but I mean, DeMarco Murray, getting rid of him. Now you got Henry getting the numbers. They got Deion Lewis coming into town.
Lewis is a good, interesting signing there. I thought for sure Henry would be the workhorse type back that they were going to use.
But it's good because, you know, you don't want to give that guy that confidence going in. You want to make him work as hard as he was before.
And it'll probably be, last year it was like a 60-40 split, Murray getting the bulk. And it'll probably be flipped this year. Henry will probably get the bulk, and third down action will always be Lewis. And I think Henry will be fine there. But
I'll tell you this. I expect a lot more from Lewis probably third quarter, 6 minutes in and the rest of the game, because I don't see the Titans winning a whole lot of games this year.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I could see Lewis, and I think that's what they were kind of thinking here. Like, oh, man, we're going to need someone, a little bit of a scat, just to get out, get the screen pass, keep us in the game. So, Henry, like I said, I like Henry. I think he's done good. I unfortunately traded him in one of my keeper leagues, but, you know, it's all good because I got some good compensation for him. But bottom line is, it's interesting with DeMarco gone and where DeMarco's going to go, which we'll get to here. Now, you know, let's get into the free agent signings here. Enough about the coaches. I know we touched on a lot of them, but, you know, see Drew Brees remaining in New Orleans on a 2-year, $50 million deal, 27 guaranteed.
Not too much.
He figured he wasn't going to go anywhere, but he, you know, what he did was he got himself a little bit of a bonus there as far as, you guys want to keep me? I'll be a dick.
Yeah.
You don't want
to
sign it?
I'm going to let other teams talk to me and put a little pressure on them.
Why not? You know, you're a Hall of Fame quarterback. You have the option. I mean, a lot of guys like that are like, hey, screw it. You don't want me? I'll go play somewhere else, make a whole shit ton of money, and contenders would want me. So
yeah, exactly. Minnesota would have taken him over Cousins in a heartbeat, I think.
Speaking of Cousins, he signed with Minnesota for 3 years, $84 million. Entire contract guaranteed.
$28 million a year, completely guaranteed. $84 million that guy's going to make. He's already made, I think, close to $45 million over the last 2 years on the two franchise tags. So that dude hasn't won a playoff game, has only been in the league for 4 years or 6 years.
Still drives around in that minivan.
He's already going. I mean, when this contract's over, you're talking about $130 million.
That's absurd, man.
For zero playoff wins. I mean, he'll probably get one, let's assume, in Minnesota, but that's still crazy to me.
Yeah, he didn't impress me. I feel like he had weapons in Washington, and he just, whether he's going to blame the offensive coordinator, I know you could throw some shade at the GM and the whole situation that's going on there, but, man, if Alex Smith can come in there and start doing some work with less, then I think it just shows that Minnesota made a poor investment there.
Well, I think Alex Smith's going to be, he'll be in for a little surprise there when he sees he doesn't have the weapons he had in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And reverse side, Cousins.
Well,
now,
I'll tell you what, though. Let's hold on to that for a second. Not to interrupt you, but you look at Reed, Kelsey. I know they're on opposite, you know, Reed was beat up the whole year. Yeah. But
Kelsey,
I mean, they were similar,
healthy.
Similar players within a year of each other. You know what I mean? Now, you got Crowder, an up-and-coming receiver here. Ain't really too close to Tyreek Hill as far as speed goes, but he's showing that he's got some promise here. I mean, Chris Thompson's got a little bit of more legs over here. I like what the Chiefs got going on in their backfield, but, you know, I think it's going to – a real story's going to be told here. Yeah, Washington lost a handful of weapons, but, I mean, think about who Smith had the year prior to that when he had a pretty decent year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I hope this contributes all the way back to Nagy. You know what I'm saying? But I just like to bring in Nagy somehow into any scenario, to say the least.
The Redskins did bring in Paul Richardson from the Seahawks, but
he was solid, but he's not the playmaker that he
But on the, like I was going to say, on the reverse side, Cousins now goes from Washington where, you know, he got nothing out of Pryor. Jameson Crowder was up and down all year. Reed was hurt most of the year. But now you got Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Zach Rudolph, and a running game, a good running game. Well, assuming Cook comes back from the knee injury healthy. So Cousins now has weapons he never had.
So I'm just trying to hate to save the limelight, all right? Fuck you, Minnesota. Whatever, man. Couldn't make it to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I cursed. I'm a grown man. I can curse. Arf. No. Bottom line is, though, Minnesota's going to be tough to beat. And I think they're going to be that new Packers squad. You know what I mean? As far as who we look at on our schedule, like, we got to beat them. Because beating the Packers is going to be an everyday thing from now on. Speaking of former Vikings quarterback, Case Keenum signed with Denver.
Sorry. Yeah.
2 years, $36 million. And I was a little bit surprised at Denver not being as aggressive. Maybe they weren't throwing out that money. Always kind of holding his pockets tight here. I think possibly the signing of Case Keenum, in my eyes, has me thinking that Denver's going to want to get best quarterback available that they can. So I expect something really big on draft day for them.
Yeah, you would think they're sitting there in the top five. I think they're five. So they have a shot to get one of those guys.
Four. I think they're right before Cleveland.
No, Cleveland has four for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Houston. That's Houston's pick.
Okay, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Denver's five or six. I think Denver's five.
Yeah, they're right behind each other, yeah.
But anyway, I think, yeah, for sure, they got to get one of those guys. And it's just, they may not be, you know, the like Andrew Luck type prospect, but hey, you know what? You can't keep going forward with, you know, Paxton Lynch or Trevor Siemian, who they then traded to the Vikings. And Case Keenum isn't a long-term fix. So
you got that Mike Glennon money right there.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, that's what they thought he was going to be. And, you know, he's terrible.
I think.
Speaking of Glennon, he did end up falling in the footsteps to Arizona. So,
he did, yeah.
Which is even awful. I would hate to be in Arizona right now thinking, like, fuck. Yeah, this long
he's
neck.
He's their backup until that knee blows out on Bradford again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Denver, I don't think they could afford Cousins at that rate because they do have a lot of defensive players they've paid already. Demaryius Thomas has a huge contract. And they still haven't done anything with Emmanuel Sanders.
They saved some money in cap space getting rid of Talib.
Get rid of Talib, and then they renegotiated Von Miller's contract and save a bunch of money, like $12 million there.
They could always negotiate, man.
There's always...
I'll tell you what, the type of receivers they have, they're above average for sure. You know, Emmanuel Thomas. You got to get someone in there. You had Trevor Siemian throwing the ball last year. I mean, get someone who can throw the freaking ball to see where your team could go. If there's a positive effort coming through and they're winning games, then you could start, oh, okay, now we need to renegotiate. Von Miller, do you want to win games? Do you want to renegotiate your contract, spread it out, or do you want to sit here and just lose in the Mile High City? I mean,
well, I think you can make a case for Thielen Diggs to be right on par with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. I think obviously Thielen Diggs are younger and have more upside, but Demaryius Thomas, what he's done in his career, he's a heck of a player, and he's still in the prime. And Sanders can still do some things too if he stays there. I know there's a lot of talk about them releasing him, but...
Well, you know, we talked about Bradford, the one-year deer in Arizona.
$20 million.
$20 million.
For a guy with no knees.
Yeah, it is what it is. And then just to touch on a couple other interesting payouts this year. You know, A.J. McCarron, who I thought was going to get a little bit more, 2 years, $10 million. You know, that makes me think also that the Bills are going to be kind of scrounged for a quarterback in this draft kind of early. Bears signed Chase Daniels, you know, the once Philadelphia Eagle, Kansas City Chief. Interesting to see, you know, off paper. I already like him better than Mark Sanchez because I hate that guy. So it'll be interesting to see Sanchez go and figure out what we do on the third string side of things. Probably draft a quarterback. Wouldn't be a bad idea as a backup. I'm just joking. We just got Trubisky. But, you know.
Hey, fifth round, sixth round, something late in the draft.
You could pick a project. Undrafted guy up at that point, but
yeah,
not too worried about. McCowan also signed the same amount of money, so.
And Teddy Bridgewater. It's going to be a battle for that starting job, Bridgewater and McCown.
Old Teddy Rupskin. According to McCown, he says they were guaranteeing him the starting spot, so. As far as running backs.
It's my year.
Pretty average. I'm pretty shocked Jerick McKinnon got 4 years, $30 million. I think that's quite a bit of cash.
From what I've heard on that, I was reading an article about it, and they were saying they're going to use him a lot as out wide as a receiver and still use him in the backfield. So that's how they're justifying that contract, is he's not going to just be like he was in Minnesota, where he's going to be that scat back. He's going to be more like the Le'Veon Bell type role, where he's going to get carries, he's going to get a lot of that, he's going to be split out wide, he's going to be in the slot, he's going to be lined up as a tight end, or not in tight end, but on the end. So that is why he got that contract, which I was shocked too at first, but then I read into it, and hey, if he can be that, great. But as of right now, the contract doesn't look very good.
Deion Lewis went to Tennessee, 4 year, $20 million. Good for him. I think it's going to be something Henry's going to definitely need. You know, he's going to open up probably Henry's idea of that catching back, being able to get open. He's going to definitely teach the kid something for sure, something that DeMarco Murray wasn't too good at this point in his career.
Probably, you know what I mean? Didn't want to either. That was his job, and they drafted this guy early. So, yeah, I think Lewis is a good – does really spell him, too. It doesn't –
just hurts his fantasy value a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want 320 carries in a year because you break down really fast. Mm-hmm.
Carlos Hyde also went to Cleveland for 3 years, $15
million. Yeah, that was another interesting one. I didn't think Cleveland would go out there and get a running back because I thought for sure Barkley would be their guy.
Definitely.
And they have Duke Johnson still there. So they could still get Barkley and go from there.
Maybe they trade Duke Johnson. You never know. Well, I think he's an interesting back, and a lot of teams would want to acquire someone like that.
Yeah.
Depending on if Barkley is going to be able to be that Zeke coming out the backfield, catching passes. You know, he's got to have that agility.
Well, I think Hyde is like a Jordan Howard where he doesn't catch the ball. He's just a runner.
Yeah.
And so that, I guess, makes sense for the Browns. Maybe they can still get Barkley in there and be more of, use him in a traditional role, but also more like Christian McCaffrey this year where you line him out wide. You get him on the field as much as possible because he's an amazing talent.
Mm-hmm.
But you line them up, you get both of them on the field at the same time, a la Panthers, McCaffrey, and Jonathan Stewart. So, but you know what? We're speculating the draft, so.
Yeah. Just touch on it. Jonathan Stewart's going to New York, which probably be his last team stop here. Isaiah Crowell, though, you know, the counterpart who was on the Cleveland Browns, former running back, he went to the Jets on a 3-year, $12 million deal.
Yeah, he fills in Matt Forte role.
Be interesting to see what happens there. I know Bilal Paul's got, I think he's in his final year of his contract, so maybe they're just trying to look for someone. I could also see them trying to go for maybe a top running back kind of early. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wide receiver Sammy Watkins goes to the Chiefs, 3 years, $48 million, 30 guaranteed. A bit of change.
Didn't see that coming. That was one of the teams I didn't think would be in the market for a receiver. But I guess it does make sense when you look at it outside of Hill and Kelsey. They didn't have the great outside weapon, and especially when they lose Albert Wilson. So
I'll tell you what I think is going to be awesome is Patrick Mahomes this year.
He's got a cannon.
It's going to be a field day on both sides of the field.
Watkins can go deep, and maybe Mahomes can hit him.
I think Kareem Hunt's going to have a huge year with that field spread there. But be interesting to see. You know what I mean? Who's to say that Kareem Hunt's going to get that starting role? You know, what's coming back? Motherfucker.
I think he's got it pretty rough.
I'm just joking. I got him kept in the league, so you know.
Yeah, I don't think Kamara's going to be the starter either. They're going to bring someone in there.
Yeah, I heard Rashan Salam's going to come up from 6 feet under. And
oh, yeah?
Ball, yeah. Allen Robinson, Chi-Town, baby. 3 years, $42 million. A lot of skeptics talking smack because he's coming off an ACL injury, which happened at the beginning of the year, so fucking hate is going to hate.
Yeah, ACL injuries aren't nearly as bad as they used to. Used to be, of course, Adrian Peterson blew out his knee week 15, 16, came back, played the first game of the season, and ended up 7-8 yards short of the rushing record.
After he beat his kids.
Well, yeah. But still, it's the thing. ACL injuries aren't as serious. Now, there still could be, you know, there's always a chance something bad happens where he re-injures it or he's just not the same, loses a little speed. But at the end of the day, I think you go out there and get a guy like that who can go catch pretty much everything. You have to do it. I mean, and I don't think he wanted to go back to Jacksonville. I think he was kind of fed up with the inaccuracy of Blake Bortles. So if Mitch Trubisky is good, and that's what it all comes down to. If Mitch Trubisky's good, Matt Nagy's good. Ryan Pace is good. The Bears are good. Allen Robinson will be good. But if Mitch Trubisky is just another bust.
And John will be even more drunk.
If he's a bust, then it doesn't matter. I mean, Robinson will probably still put up his numbers, but
he's going to be a stud, you know. That's all I got to say. I already ordered my Robinson jersey.
I think he will be.
Paul Richardson goes to Washington, 5 years, $40 million. I don't think he'll be there for them whole 5 years. Probably be there probably two before they release him and find out that he's not doing as good as he, you know, the money talks, but they're really not in that situation right now, given the wide receiver class.
$8 million a year for a receiver doesn't seem like a whole lot when you really look at it. I mean, so, and he's young. I mean, this is a 25-year-old guy who can fly. So I don't know. I mean, I like it, and who knows? He could suck and be out of there 2-3 years. But I think that's a good move for Washington. Gives Alex Smith something there that I really don't think he had.
I think at that point they needed to go after something a little bit more aggressively. One of the top bigger names, which obviously, you know, they struck out on that. But at that point, I would have maybe waited a little bit.
I don't think they could have afforded $14 million a year for a receiver like Robinson, though.
Oh, I'm not talking crazy, son of a bitch. Jordy Nelson recently signs with Oakland. Pretty good move here.
Meh.
Nah.
A speed guy who has no more speed anymore. I'll pass.
For the sake of them, for the sake of them. Marquise Lee signed with the Jacksonville 4 years, 34 mil. Pretty decent signing. Albert Wilson.
It's a bad signing.
I was waiting for that one.
That was a bad signing.
Hey, shit happens, brother. Shit happens.
The Dolphins receivers. Devontae Parker, who's still on the rookie deal, unproven. Danny Amendola, Albert Wilson, Kenny Stills are getting paid an absurd amount of money for receivers. And none of them are number one. No, I don't think any of them are going to be a number two fantasy receiver. So for those three guys, Stills, Amendola, Wilson, to be making close to $30 million between the three of them is absurd to me.
I agree. Top of things, Jimmy Graham going to the Packers. 3 years, 30 mil. He's fucking burnt up.
He could be good. He could suck.
He won't be.
I mean, Martellus Bennett went there and he sucked, so I guess it's where tight ends go to die now.
Yeah. Couple of interesting O-linemen. Norwell with the Jacksonville, 5 years, 66 mil.
Fournette owners love that.
Yeah. Solder going to the Giants, 4 years, 62. I don't think it's going to help him out over there.
Maybe he's not in New England anymore.
Yeah. Save Eli from being on his back for a little bit. And then you guys just got former Bear Josh Sitton. Decent deal. Good player from the Packers, I mean.
Yeah, they also released Pouncey, too. So, I don't know. That team's a mess. I'll be surprised if they win four games this year.
Defensive line, pretty interesting signings. Tennessee got Daquan Jones, 3 years, 21 mil. He's going to stay there, stay home. So it feels like he's got a good spot there. That defense is kind of tearing up, so it'll be interesting for them to move forward in the future here. Muhammad Wilkerson, we talked about on the Packers, going to be a dud there, which is another good thing.
I'm going to end Trubisky's season.
That happens. You're a dead man.
Oh, well.
You're a dead man. Star Lutui just had a big signing. Buffalo, five-year, $50 million. You know, them D tackles went pretty quick. Him, Nagata, Haholinara. How do you even say his last name?
I think it's Nagata, isn't it?
The G's got to be silent, right?
I can't think of how to say it right now. You got me all out of whack here.
Oh, Haloti
man. Nada.
Haloti Nada.
Nada.
Nada with a
Nada
G.
Nada going to matter.
Gotcha. Linebackers, Anthony Hitchens from Kansas City signed a pretty lucrative deal there.
I like that signing a lot. I thought he was a good
5 years,
player.
45. Yeah, he had some good shit going in last year. Nigel Bradham, staying with Philly, man. That was a guy I was hoping the Bears would kind of swoop up on, but 5 years, 40 mil. It's a lot of cash. Demario Davis also, New Orleans, 3 years, 24. Not a lot of high-profile vets out there, you know, but we'll see here in the next couple of years. I think they got an interesting free agent market coming out after this season, so maybe that's what teams are kind of waiting for here. Cornerbacks, pretty exciting. Malcolm Butler going to Tennessee, 5 years, 61. You know, he was going to get paid pretty fat, even though he set out the Super Bowl. Aaron Colvin, 4 year, 34 with Jacksonville. They got a tough defense. I mean, you got to keep that together there. Richard Sherman, obviously, going
the Niners,
San Francisco. Yeah,
yeah.
3 years, 27. Interesting that he's getting the same amount of money as Prince. I never really put that on paper until I looked at it. I'm like,
that's which, it.
You got the injury.
Aging cornerbacks, man. You never know what they're going to do. I mean, you got to be fast, and they don't have the same flexibility and speed they once did. So it's a tough position to play at an older age.
Tremaine Johnson going to the Jets. Going to be a good signer for them. I mean, they always get that one cover guy. The other guy gets burnt the whole game, and they continue to lose. So I guess that's the way they think about
it. That's what it'll be this year.
And then Bashad Breeland, Carolina, 3 years, 24. Be interesting side of things here for the defense, but there's still some good free agents out there. Be interesting to see here. I know they got some cuts to make for end of the day or beginning of the day tomorrow, I think. But key guy is still out on the market. You got DeMarco Murray. Pryor is going to be an interesting pickup here. I think he'd be a cheap add, especially since he had a shitty year last year. So.
Oh, yeah.
Then Crabtree, just getting released. I know he's visiting the Ravens, but might be a guy. Hell, I'd love to see the Bears pick up some Crabtree.
I think he's going to the Ravens because Ryan Grant, a guy they had a deal with, failed his physical, so he's not going there now. So they needed someone else because they also released Jeremy Maclin, so Crabtree would make sense there, but Flacco sucks.
Dominican Sue is in the Texans and Titans. Going to be interesting to see where he goes. He's going to definitely cloud off the middle somewhere.
He's still a beast. He's still doing it. He's not as good of a pass rusher as he used to be, obviously, in early years in Miami and obviously with Detroit. But he still takes up double teams. He still makes, you know, easier for the other guys to get to the quarterback. And he still can stop the run. So he'll definitely be a good find for somebody. He's still going to cost $22 million for the Dolphins this year. It's dead money. That's nice. $22 million to go play elsewhere. But I guess it's better than $26 million to play for them.
Yeah.
So someone's going to get him, and it'll be pretty good value, I'd imagine, compared to what he can still do.
Sheldon Richardson's another guy out there. Like I said, that's a guy I would really like to see the Bears kind of pick up. Definitely give him a good start on the secondary side of the line. And then, of course, Tyrann Mathieu just getting released. He's going to be a fucking wherever he goes, there's going to be some good things coming out of their secondary.
There's some good safeties out there besides Mathieu. You got Kenny Vaccaro, who's a big hitter-type safety. He's not great in coverage, but can go be a good run stuffer and go be an intimidator, basically. Eric Reed, he's a decent little guy there, too. So it'll be interesting to see where those guys are. And Packers, Morgan Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
He's also going to be a free agent, so it's going to be interesting to see where these safeties go because there's a lot of good ones still out there, and hey, you can never have enough secondary help. So maybe the Bears will get one of those second tier guys.
We'll see. I'd rather have them beef up that front seven there, though.
Yeah, that's what you need.
We'll see what happens. But to sign off, man, it's been great. A little bit of update here. Hopefully, spring training time.
Spring training.
That's right. We'll do a little baseball podcast too.
Oh, okay. We can do that.
Get in the groove here, but
we gotta talk to the boss though.
Yeah.
See if you can fit us in.
All right. Peace out.